Hello, I'm Dodge, and this is the I Found It on Reddit short stories podcast, where I will be reading to you my favorite short stories that I find on Reddit. Today we will be reading a story titled Among the Flayed by Reddit user Cal_Ness. I will be joined by the YouTuber The Devil's Interval for this story. You can find a link to the author's subreddit and the link to the YouTube page for The Devil's Interval in this episode's description. Alright, well, let's get started. Among the Flayed by Reddit user Cal_Ness. Read by DodgeThis82 and The Devil's Interval. Magento sold their seed steroid under the trade name Sorocom. But after a year on the market, a period in which it turned most farmers who used it and most people who ate the food they produced into shambling lepers, the FDA pulled it and declared a national health emergency. It was too late for 20,000 or so families in the counties they lived in throughout the Midwest. 55,000 square miles, of which roughly the size of Iowa, was quarantined by the Army and the National Guard. Second Amendment supporting militias who had guns to spare and recruits eager for action helped patrol the containment zone's borders. In the common vernacular of Middle America, Sorocom came to be known as the Flayer, and victims of its horrific side effects came to be known as the Flayed. This brief history of Sorocom runs through my head as Rex drives us down some unnamed access road in a wheat field, away from a pack of the Flayed that found us hiding in Ted Johnson's hayloft with a dozen others. Rex puts the old diesel truck into third gear. It spews out black smoke, obscuring the rear view. Looking through the oily cloud, I see the Flayed disappear. But they're still coming. They'll never stop coming. Rex did what he always did when he got into the truck. No matter how many unhealthy life choices he made, junk food, whiskey, chewing tobacco, Rex always buckled his seatbelt. "Where do we go?" I asked. "What do we do?" Rex holds his side, maybe a stitch from sprinting to the truck. We barely made it. Rex was pulled out of the truck by one of the Flayed, but managed to unholster his revolver and blow its head off before the others got to him.
"We buy our time, Cherry,"
he says.
"We survive."
I love that Rex still calls me by my pet name, despite the chaos. He started calling me Sherry shortly after we started dating, a year before we got married. It's a reminder that things were normal once. Rex downshifts to pull around a hairpin turn. The truck's wheels skid before finding traction, and the rear end fishtails into a plume of dust. I still wonder how we escaped the fate of so many thousands of other families. We speculated that the chemical properties of Sorocom that caused some people's flesh to shed from their bodies were unstable. It was as if the drug had discretion. It picked and chose its victims, but without any logic that we could make sense of. Staring at the ceiling at night, I often wondered if it would have been better to be among the first wave of people who'd become Flayed. The transformation looked agonizingly painful, but I always imagined it would have been better to get it over with. Better to be spared from witnessing the horrors of this new world. 3 farmhouses ago, I saw Eustace Jones's husband Bill become Flayed before my eyes. I mark time by farmhouses now. The days and weeks started blending together not long after cellular service ceased and I lost track of time. On the run, we'd occupy a farmhouse, be discovered, and leave. Then we'd find a new one, get overwhelmed by the Flayed, and relocate. Each cycle constituted one farmhouse. In truth, days and weeks no longer mattered because it felt like we'd been on the run for years. I'd counted 18 farmhouses so far. So many that I forgot who they all belonged to. When Bill Jones became flayed, it started with his face. We were eating dinner, laughing and smiling, and remembering the world as it used to be. Then Bill's face turned into a frown. Working as a part-time nurse before the world fell, I'd seen my fair share of stroke victims. That's what it looked like. But Bill lost control of the muscles in his face. Eustace, his wife, asked what was wrong, and as Bill tried to answer, looking just as stunned as the rest of us, the skin from his face slipped off of the muscle that gave it shape, leaving a blood-red mask. Within seconds, the same thing had happened to the rest of his body, and within a minute, he'd killed three of us. My attention comes back to the cab of the truck, to Rex, my last beacon of happiness and hope. I see that he's holding his side. His eyes are watering. No. No, he's crying.
I love you, Jerry.
He upshifts, fourth gear, speeding faster down the road. The speedometer hits 40 miles per hour. The truck rumbles across the hard-packed earth. Rex's face changes into a frown, the same frown I saw on Bill Jones's face. Rex, you're scaring me. His face sags. The stroke. His skin becomes slippery, elastic. Then it starts to fall off onto his lap.
Jump out of the truck, Jerry.
He says.
I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to crash it. I won't let it happen to me.
His jaw a sickening crimson. He pulls up his shirt, showing me a deep gash in his side. One of the flayed tore into him before he managed to get into the truck, its contagions worming their way into his bloodstream. Suddenly, everything that made Rex the man I fell in love with over beers in a smoky pool hall slips away. The flesh sheds entirely from his face. Now Rex is reduced to a grinning skull covered in shiny red sinew, and he becomes terrifyingly aggressive like they all do, like I've seen 100 times before. Rex releases the steering wheel. He lunges for me. I close my eyes before it happens, but hear a sharp click as Rex's seatbelt locks him in place. His jaws snap. He's like a rabid dog. He pulls against the seatbelt, but stringent automobile safety regulations keep him locked in place. The tears come, pouring from my eyes. I remember everything that made Rex and I happy. Even though we'd never been able to have children, even though 3 pregnancies had ended in miscarriage, we'd started a family, just the two of us. And we'd been happy. Rex's foot is locked against the gas pedal. The speedometer reaches 60. I think of trying to stall the truck to stop it somehow. If I jumped out at this speed, no matter how soft the field, I'd be injured or killed. And if I happened to live, the flayed would catch up to me like they always do. Rex is still restrained by his seatbelt, struggling ferociously against it. My hand closes around the gear shift. In his calloused farmer's palm, Rex, this monster that used to be my husband, grabs my wrist and brings my arm to his mouth. I pull away before he manages to bite it. I reach and try to downshift again, but Rex grabs my arm, pulls it to his mouth with extraordinary strength, and snaps just as I manage to slip out of his grasp. In this final vicious struggle for life, I accept that none of this was ever meant to end well. There will be no federal relief. Waiting for the government and the army is not an option because they are not here to help us, only to keep us contained. Letting us all become flayed is the safest course of action. We die after 24 hours, and once everyone's dead and gone, then they'll come in to clean up the mess. I wonder if God has a plan for me, or if my Christian religiosity has been a lie I've told myself for 33 years to believe that there is a plan, that there is meaning, that there is something rather than nothing. If I live in a godless world, one without Rex, is that world worth living in? How many more farmhouses now by myself? How long until I become flayed? What will the change feel like as the skin falls from my face? Will I remember who I was? Does our sanity depart as we become flayed? Are we trapped inside a body that is not ours? Do our souls live on? Or do they too depart? As these questions cross my mind, I make my decision. Death is the final word in any scenario. Dictating how I meet it is my last act of free will. Rex's foot has continued depressing the accelerator. We're humming along at 85 miles per hour. The wheat shines in the moonlight, a translucent amber blur. I look into Rex's eyes. I see a flicker of blue color that made me fall in love with him. "Goodbye, Rex," I say. I unbuckle my seatbelt. I grab the steering wheel. I close my eyes and pull it towards me as hard as I can. Before everything goes black, I feel the truck lift from the ground. I open my eyes. We're flying over the moonlit wheat field, which, if there were still people to harvest it, would be nearly ready. The moon fills the cab of the truck. I close my eyes again. Gravity pulls the truck down to Earth. Thank you so much for listening to our reading of the scary story Among the Flayed by Reddit user Cal_Ness. Again, you can find a link to the story, a link to the Devil's Intervals YouTube channel, and a link to my YouTube narration in this episode's description. All right, you guys, y'all have a great week. I will see y'all soon. And until then, I'll catch you on the next page.